In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, my beloved, we already see the wonderful change. Everything is in white, even though we see still the Plashenitsa of the Lord still being laid out, the one he was taken off from the cross, and is still there to venerate until the late of the evening. But we had the Vespers in which everything was changed, when it changed to the liturgy, divine liturgy. And in the liturgy we had the gospel reading already of the resurrection of the Lord. And my beloved, it's the greatest holiday that we were waiting for, and this is the preparation for this holiday was the longest ever. We had 40 days of great fasting, and then we had the Passion Week, and we had to literally to relive the events that had happened to our Lord, who had done everything to show his love for us. That's the reason he came on this earth. He came on this earth only to show us the great love, and to take upon himself our iniquities, our sins, so that we will not have to justly to pay for them, maybe for transgressing them before his Father and our Lord and his God, as he had stated. My beloved, he is the part of the Lord, one of the face of the Holy Trinity, of the one God who we believe is the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God the Father wished and willed the Son to go on this earth to take the semblance of man and become a new Adam, so that while we have lost the kingdom of heaven because of the fall of the first Adam, we will have a new life, and now beginning through the second Adam, through Christ, because he, taking the semblance of a man, has been born of a Virgin Mary, and had tasted the flesh of the man, just as Adam did, but had no part of any sin whatsoever. He had totally shunned any kind of a sin. He was the only one who was without sin, and no matter what kind of temptation he went through, he went through all those things that were tempted by the evil one. He had conquered it. And then he had taken upon himself my sins, all my sins, all your sins, and the sins of every one of you, every human being in the world. He had taken those sins upon themselves, and he said to his Father, I will carry those sins, and you punish me for those sins instead of punishing those of my children whom I love, because they're all my children, they're your children, they're our children. This is the kind of love our Lord had. But what does he want from us? He wants from us that we would start to live according to his will. The Lord said to us, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And this is what you and me have to understand. If we are truly to love our Lord, we will then live according to his commandments. What are the commandments of the Lord? Well, let's briefly go through them. Well, everybody knows what the Lord said. Do not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not fornicate. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt respect and love your parents. And these are all part of the Old Testament commandments. And then, of course, the main commandment, the Lord said that it actually all the prophets and all the laws are all based on that, is to love your God with all your heart and mind and might and with all your strength and with your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is on these commandments all the laws are being based. My beloved, then there is a new commandment that the Lord gave. These are the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, the Lord gives to us these Beatitudes. He said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. What does it mean, poor in spirit? Well, those, blessed means happy, are those who recognize that they are nothing without the Lord. That whatever they have, it only is a gift of the Lord, and only because God sustains them. For he said, without me you can do nothing. And so if we really understand and believe that, that we are poor in spirit, without our Lord we're nothing, and then the Lord promises the kingdom of heaven. That's the beginning. The second law that he gave us is, he said to us, to blessed are those who weep, for they shall be comforted. Well, of course, we have to learn to weep for what? For our sins. Not because we didn't get a new computer or we couldn't get satisfaction for the wants of our body, the old man. No, that's not the reason to cry, as sometimes children cry because they didn't get the candy and then somebody else got it instead of them. That's not the tears that the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to have the tears for our sins. I have to cry for my sins, but that's not enough. My beloved, we have to cry for the sins of who? Of our neighbor. If we are family people, for our loved ones, husband, wife, children, grandparents, parents, neighbors, our town, our country, the whole world, we have to cry for the sins of them so that God will forgive them. We have to go on his example, what he showed on the when he was crucified. He cried to his Father, he said, God, the Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, for what they have done. They do not know what they do. And this is what you and me have to cry, especially for those whom we love. And who are we supposed to love? Well, the Lord gives us another commandment. He doesn't say this for us like he did before, love thy neighbor. But he said to us, also love those who hate us. We have to love our enemy. We have to, according to the Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, he says to love our enemy. Well, where do we see example of that? Well, he himself is the example. He is the one that had showed us the great love to the enemy. For we, because we transgressed God's laws all the time, we involuntarily or voluntarily become his enemy. Because we didn't show him our love. We showed hatred by not accepting his laws and not obeying them. And this, my beloved, this is something that we have to recognize. The tears of us has to be genuine, for being genuinely sorry for our sins, for the sins of our neighbors, and for the sins of the whole world. Then we're going to get satisfaction, and then we're going to get the comfort. God is going to comfort us when he sees that we're shedding sins for our sins and the sins of our neighbors, because that shows to him that we have love, as he had shed his tears for our sins. And my beloved, you know how much we hurt our Lord all our life with all our sins, how much we hurt our guardian angel, how much we hurt the true mother of God, the Theotokos, how much we hurt the heavenly dwellers, how much we hurt when we sin. You, if you are a family person, and you're a father or mother, you know how it hurts when your children do not listen to you. Because when you ask them to do something, you really ask them for their own good. But they don't believe that you love them. They don't believe that you wish them good. And so they buff you and they fight you. And how much it hurts. And you, then I, are fortunate in a sense. We have a little glimpse of the suffering that the Lord had to go for us. And he went for us for all our sins. He knew me way before, 2,000 years ago. He knew what kind of sins I would bring him, and he knew what kind of sins you will bring him. And for all those sins, he had taken it upon himself and was willing to shed his life and to suffer and to go through the beatings and all kinds of hell that he went through, just so that we will be freed from having to take that punishment. But there is a condition, the condition that we love him in return. And then when we love him, then we truly will start to fulfill and obey his commandments, my beloved. And so we go just flowing right into the next commandment that he gave us. And he gave us that, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, what? Of course, if I cry for my sins and so on, I shall become meek. And once I become meek, I cannot get what? I cannot get irritated. I cannot get angry. And if somebody crosses me, if somebody goes against me, and so that does the Lord then offering me in the kingdom of heaven. But even on this earth, if you will be meek in behavior with your parents, you can inherit even here something from the parents or somebody else if you show meekness. Proud people don't inherit anything except hell, my beloved. But then the next commandment the Lord gave us is, blessed those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, today is a terrible time of the world. Today, people become like Pilate. He was not interested in the truth. And for the truth stood right in front of him, which was Jesus Christ himself. He stood in front of him. And he said, those who are for truth are going to follow me. But Pilate says, what is truth? Of course, he was taught by the world at that time that everybody can have his own truth. Isn't that exactly what the spirit of the world today is? Everybody can have his own truth. He can believe anything he wants. You want to believe in God, any kind of God. You can imagine him to be anything you want. And you have the right to do. You want to believe in God, that as some of the Satanists believe that he is God, you can do that. You want to be a pagan, you can be that. Everything is allowed today. But be sure that you believe in not in a true God and a true church, the only church that the Lord had built, because of that, you are going to have to be paying for it eventually. But let's go to another beatitude. So if we learn, if we hunger and thirst for truth, we know that the truth is actually Christ. It's actually Christ and his gospel and the teaching, and the teaching of the church, and all the rules of the apostles and the ecumenical councils. And God forbid if we decide to come to a point where they're all outdated, we don't need them today, then we're falling away from the truth. Truth is always stable, it's always the same. Truth is today as it was yesterday and as it will be tomorrow. And we have to accept that. And then after that, the Lord gives us another beautiful rule of being happy, of blessedness. He says that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now you know the truth, you have accepted Christ, make sure you don't judge anybody, that you are merciful. And when you see people transgressing right and left against the Lord, you feel sorry for them, and you try to bring them through love towards back to the truth and to the Lord. But never attack them, and don't be as the Pharisees and to say they're just no good and start to hate them. No, love them. Love them even harder. Pray for them as if you're the ones that are committing those sins. That's the spirit of truth of the Lord. And you do that and you start to have the more and more blessedness in your heart. And then the one that opens up to us something that we all wish we could have. And this is, blessed are those that are pure in spirit in the heart, for they shall see God, my beloved. This is a ultimate, in a sense, goal for us to be able to do that, to purify our hearts so that we can see God, so we can see God in everything, so we can see God in the nature, in every flower as we can see here today, that we see in everything that God had created, and in our neighbors, and that we can really see the presence of God in our heart. But to do that, we have to have love for him more than anything or anybody else. Because, as St. John of Croatia says, that our God is a God, that a jealous God. He wants us to have the love for him. And that love has to be more than for anybody else. When you love your mother or father, your husband and wife, your children more than you love me, you're unworthy of me, said the Lord. And you have to remember that, because he deserves the love. He has given for you more and much of everything, more than anybody can ever do for you. No one could ever match even one little tiny bit of what he had done for you. And he deserves that love. He deserves love more than anybody else and can have a love for us. And if you do that, then you truly start to rejoice in your heart. You'll be able to start to feel God's presence. He lives in your heart. And then you will be able to approach the next beatitude, which says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Don't you want to be called the son of God or daughter of God? But see how difficult it is to be a peacemaker. How difficult it is. Unless you fulfill all the commandments, you'll never be able to become a peacemaker if you judge a person. If you have not learned to cry for your sins and for the sins of that person. If you have not been able to really clean your heart and to make it the dwelling of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in your heart. If you were able to do it, then you'll be able to use God's grace and to become a peacemaker and bring people to the Lord and bring peace. And this is a wonderful, wonderful thing that you have a calling of being the daughter or the son of God, my beloved. But then after that, there's two more beatitudes and which the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. And this is what he went through himself. And every saint had went through that. And every person that made it to kingdom of heaven. And this is where the Lord says, blessed those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, are you willing to be persecuted because you are standing up for the truth and because you are trying to live according to the gospel? Are you willing to be persecuted if need to be by the governments or by pagans or by anybody or by the demons if you are living by himself or by yourself or by your family and so on? And this is what you and me have to be willing to do and not harden up our hearts against those who are persecuting us. And those who are chasing us away, if there is one condition, if there are people that are being used by the demons, we don't turn on the people. We don't fight the flesh and blood, but we fight the filthy demons. We know that they're the ones that wants us to go away from our Lord and to go to hell. And then the last one, the ninth one, which is the most horrible one for most people that have self-love. And this is, blessed are those who have reviled and no matters of evil are being said falsely on my account. Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. And this is what you and me have to remember. When the persecution starts on us, when people accuse us of all those things that we're not guilty of. And of those things, because they know that we follow our Lord, that we have taken up the cross that the Lord has given us and trying to live according to the gospel. And so they attack us, and they attack us, and they try to malign us. They try to make everybody think that we are some kind of crazy people or just sex or whatever, all kinds of people. And they're shunning us, and they're persecuting us, and they're making sure we have a terrible reputation. Then you and me should rejoice, said the Lord, for the great is our reward in heaven, because that's what they did to him. They have did exactly to him that they persecuted him. They have charged him and said of the things which he had not done. They have called him a liar. They have called him as if to a point that he has done blasphemies enough that he deserved to be dead. Well, wasn't guilty of any of those things. He only said the truth. And my beloved, and this is what you and I have to go through, and don't feel bad if somebody starts to malign you or say things against you. Accept it and don't hold it against them. Pray for them and say that the Lord said on the cross again, and they don't know what they're doing. You have to have the spirit of love. If we're to be Christians, if we're to be Orthodox Christians, we have to realize it. Our main thing is to be of one mind. Of one mind with whom? With the Lord. We no longer should be thinking the way the world is thinking or anybody else in the world is thinking, but except for the Lord. Our mind has to be mind of Christ. This is what the apostle has said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and he no longer has his own mind, but he has a Christ mind. And this is what we have to develop, my beloved. And this is what we finally was able to, if we have done what we are supposed to do, we should have read the whole gospel by now. The whole four gospel writers we should have read by last night and the night before. And if we didn't read it, please take the effort and start reading it. Even if you have to read it after the Pascha. But get to love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, you find that you don't want to stay away from His Word. You want to read Him as much as possible. You want to read about Him in the Gospel. We want to do that, as some of the saints, and like Saint Serafim Sarovsky, who used to have a spirit of Pascha all year, because he would say, "Christ has risen all year round," he would say to everybody. And he would always call them, "My beloved, my joy," when he meet another person. Christ is risen. And this, and why? Because he had read the Gospel every week, the whole four Gospels. He would read every week. And this is what he was doing, because he was getting that strength. And so you and me, if you want to have the love for God, let's learn to study the Scripture and to learn more and more and read the Holy Gospel, the Apostles, and the Psalter, and to really to try to be in union with the Lord in our heart and mind and soul. And don't shut Him. We know that by the teaching of the Holy Church, He's everywhere present and fills all things. Don't turn our back on Him. Let's not turn our back on Him. Let's recognize His presence. And when we recognize His presence, then we live differently. We cannot go against Him. That's, of course, if we have love for Him. So I hope that we all will develop the love through studying more about Him and going through what we want through this great Lent, and that we will know that He is our God, and He is our God of love, that wants us to love each other and to be able to be of one mind, to be able to make it in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.